Good morning. Welcome to Antarctica. It was so cold. I think it was -6 this morning on my little dial. You would go outside and your nose hairs just like freeze. Today we have the beautiful story of the wedding feast at Cana. And this is a specific story that's only found in the Gospel of John. So John lived with Mother Mary. As you remember, he's the beloved disciple that at the foot of the cross, Jesus says, woman, behold your son, son, behold your mother. And we hear that from that moment on, he took her into his home. So John had probably a very, very special relationship with Our Lady. And Mary, I'm sure, would have told John this story, the wedding feast at Cana. You don't find it in any other Gospels. And I'm sure as we hear throughout many of the Gospels, Mother Mary pondered things within her heart. And so with John, they looked at this scene, the first miracle that Jesus performed, and began to see that in this one event is salvation history put on display. In this one miracle, Jesus ties together all the expectations and anticipations of a new Messiah and the fulfillment of that new Messiah, and ultimately he foreshadows what he will do on the cross and at the Last Supper. And so briefly, I kind of want to parse this out and reveal to you the immense theological meaning in this little kind of event. The story is a wedding feast, and that's not happen chance. As I have told you many times, the gospel message can be kind of boiled down into one phrase. Let's see if you know it. What's that one phrase? Do you remember what I have told you? What is the one phrase that the entire gospel can be boiled down to? God wants to what? Yes, God wants to marry you. So it happens in a wedding feast. And we hear that the wine has gone dry. Now, for many ancient cultures, and specifically for the Jewish people, wine had a symbolic meaning of divinity. If you went to any of the celebrations, the Jewish celebrations, what was always served and incorporated into their celebration? Wine. Even the Last Supper, dinner, they would have 6 glasses where they would cheers and drink wine. Why? Because wine in its intoxication, in its depthness, was a sign of divinity. And so, kind of in this very symbolic way, what we hear is humanity is empty. Man and woman created to be filled with divinity, to have the life of God pulsating through their veins. In the fall of Adam and Eve, break that relationship and therefore become empty jars, empty vessels. The wine is no longer there. Interestingly and beautifully, who's the one who notices? Mary. Mary says to Jesus, when the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. I think that's a lovely kind of phrase to reflect upon, because Mary, as any mother, tender mother, recognizes when the life has gone out of us. Isn't it true that moms are the first one to pick up in their sons and daughters when something isn't right? They realize the sadness that they're holding. They're the first ones to say, what's the matter? What's wrong? They have an intuition to see an emptiness. And Mary still does. She looks upon us and she's the one to first notice their heart is empty. The wine has gone dry. And Jesus said to her, woman, how does your concern affect me? Now our modern ears hear that and we hear it as an insult. How dare Jesus call his mama mother or woman, right? How dare he use this almost just ineffective, just impersonal kind of term? There's one or a couple other times when this term is applied to a lady, a woman, and it's in Genesis. Eve, the title that's given to her is woman. John, throughout his entire gospel, constantly harkens back to Genesis. If you open up the beginning of John's Gospel, how does it begin? In the beginning was the Word. And how does Genesis begin? In the beginning. Right from the start, John says, I'm taking Genesis and I'm showing how Jesus Christ is a new beginning, a new creation. And just as in Genesis we had a first man and a first woman, Adam and Eve, we now have a new Adam, Jesus Christ, and a new Eve, this woman, Mary. Interestingly, at the end of the Gospel of John, when Jesus is on the cross, we hear Mary be called woman again. Woman, behold your son. In no way is Jesus giving this kind of demeaning put down to his mom. Rather, he's calling forth from her to recognize her own mission. Isn't it beautiful? Mary, the mother of Jesus, is almost beckoning out of Jesus, it's time. It's time for you to do your public ministry. It's time for your hour to come. And Jesus pivots on that and says, Mom, if it's my hour, do you recognize that then it is your hour too? Mary is intimately linked in the salvation of humanity. Just so you know, I'm not making this up. Listen to Benedict XVI. He said, in the Gospel of John, Mary represents the new, the definitive woman, the companion of the Redeemer, our mother. The name which seems so lacking in affection actually expresses the grandeur of Mary's mission. Eve, we hear in Genesis, is the mother of all the living. Jesus is pointing out that Mary, the woman, is now the mother of all the new creation. That in a sense, through her, by the power of Jesus Christ, she will make new all of the world. Okay, so now remember, the wine has gone out. Mary says they have no wine, aka no divinity is within them. They're empty. Jesus says, what is your role then in this? And Mary then points to the disciples and tells them what? Do whatever he tells you. Mary spoke this from her own experience. When angel Gabriel came to her and said, you're going to be with child. And she said, let it be done unto me according to thy word. And in that one powerful yes, God entered her womb and salvation came to the world. And so Mary now speaks to all of you. Do whatever he tells you. In other words, say yes. Why? Because your hearts have grown dry. And then we have the beautiful telling of this, I'm sure, historical reality that you had these massive jars that held 20 to 30 gallons, and they're empty. And he says, fill them with water. So he fills it with water, and he takes it, and he turns it into wine. In this sign, what is being revealed to us? You will be overflowing with divine life. Your hearts, which are now empty, will be pulsating once again with divinity. That's his sign. 3 years down the road at his Last Supper, the night before he goes upon the cross, shedding his blood for us, he will do what? Take wine and say, this is my blood. And he gives it to the apostles, and he says, do this in memory of me. Mary, do whatever he tells you. Jesus, do this in memory of me. 2,000 years later, every Mass we go to, wine is taken. Jesus' words are breathed upon it and says, this is my blood. and it is given to you. And you and I are filled with divinity. The Eucharist, the foreshadowing of it, started with the Jewish people. But in his first miracle, what does Jesus want to point to? The Eucharist. It's the culmination of what our hearts long for. As you come before him to receive him in the Blessed Eucharist, be honest and name the place that is empty. All of us, there's parts of us that have grown dry, where vitality and life, ardor, a lack of faith, a lack of conviction, a lack of true relationship and love with those around me, a smallness, a pettiness in my heart, an unwillingness to go out and proclaim the gospel. All of these parts are dead, empty places within us. Who recognizes it first? Mary. As you come before the Blessed Eucharist to receive this divine life, maybe pray to Mary. Mary, you're the one that sees very keenly the emptiness within me. Invite Jesus to fill it.